Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, Lord, y'all, what I'm gonna do? Lord, Lord, y'all, shit is all true. Fried chicken, fly vixen, give me heart disease, but need you in my kitchen. You a bird, but you ain't a key. Got wings, but you can't fly away from me. Driving in your bucket seats all the way from Kentucky to fuck with me. Look what you done to me, was number one to me. After you shower, you in your gold medal flower. Then you rub your hot oil for about a half an hour. You in your hot tub, I'm looking at you salivating. Dry you off, I got your paper towel waiting. Lay you down cause you're red hot. Louisiana style, you make my head rock. Then I flop to the bed, then flop. When we done, I need rest. Don't know what part of you I love best. Your legs or your breasts. Mrs. Fried Chicken, you gon' be a nigga death. Created by Southern black women to serve master guests. You gon' be a nigga death. Mrs. Fried Chicken, you was my addiction. Dripping with high cholesterol. Like Greeks with its falafel, Italian with its tomato pasta. But roti is to a rasta, trapping me. You and your friend mac and cheese, candy ends, collard greens. But you knocking me to my knees is killing me when I'm this high. Nothing I need more than a fish fry.
Shit, it tastes good, I can't lie. It's like you walking out the tennis saloon. When I pull you out the oven from baking, I got you on my mind. Rubbing that suntan lotion all up over your body. So amazing how you sparkle when I glaze you, swine. Hey, my pretty ham hock is so feminine. The way you submitted and how you gave me power to massage me, to shower you with lemon water, marinate you in seasoning, dipping you in chowder. Baby, it's like you're at the spa the way you gently lay in the pan while enjoying your buttermilk treatment. I sit and watch the grease sizzle bubble in on your skin. Despite the funny fragrance, still I lick my finger frequent. In any event, I'm reflecting on all the signs that I got, saying that I sit and fuck with you. But the way that you would taste made you hard to resist when I put my mouth on you, but that's another issue. Butterflies up in my stomach when I laid eyes on you. Or was it infection manifesting? Confused over the feeling, impatiently eating you. Chiquita worm chewing on the wall of my intestine. I'ma eat you till there's nothing left. Till my very last breath, you gon' be a nigga death. Despite I prepare it the best and specialize in cooking swine as a chef, you gon' be a nigga death. Who cares if the swine's mixed with rat, cat, and dog combined? Yes, I'ma eat the shit to death. Ain't that some shit? I'ma eat some shit until what I'm eating kills me. And I choose to do that. Why? Cause that's just what niggas do.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, Big C, sitting in the building solo tonight. We got a show for you that's going to be action-packed. Ill had some other business to attend to tonight, so it's just going to be me. I'm going to give you a lot of information regarding Major League Baseball, a lot of free agent information from the NBA. I mean, it seems like $1 billion has just been thrown around just today alone. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pistons and some of their free agent targets, actually been missing on a lot of their free agent targets so far. We got a little bit of NFL action. I know it's the off season, but we still got a couple of things we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about some fantasy players, some possible comeback players, and possibly some breakout players. So I got a couple of those for you. The show may be a little shorter today because I don't have an opposing point of view. I don't have somebody going to be repeating some things, but we're going to try to get through it. I may take a second or two to wet my whistle because I may get a little dry mouth, but I'm going to do my best, you know what I'm saying, to keep you guys entertained and informed, which is my goal. So we're going to get right to it, right to it. Currently, our Tigers are currently playing very inconsistent baseball, 39-37 right now, two games over 500, currently in third place in the Central, six games behind the leader in that division, and slowly but surely, we're getting close to the All-Star break, but slowly but surely, they're starting to fall back a little bit farther than I would like to see them from the pack. Good news, Victor Martinez is back, and he's swinging the bat well. He's been connecting with the baseball, been driving in runs. He couldn't drive in one yesterday for us in the extra innings, but he's been a godsend to the lineup. Verlander is back. Two shaky starts. one miss start due to some fatigue and some soreness. I think it may be time to, you know, come to the realization that Verlander may never be the player he once was. He's still a young guy. He's still got a live arm. But the injury to starting him out, that core injury, is a big-time injury. And I think that we have to come to grips that he may not be as dominant as he once was. But with that being said, that's not saying that he won't be an effective pitcher down the stretch for us. We actually need him to be. I don't think he needs to be dominant, but he definitely needs to be a quality third or fourth starter for us so we can make up some ground. If he can turn on the charm and turn back the clock about 5 years, that would be great too. But I think he's a little bit, I'm not going to say over the hill, but the injuries are starting him out. You know, he's been throwing the ball 100 miles an hour, 95 to 100 miles an hour for some years now, and that takes a toll on him. He's tried to develop some other pitches, and he has to a certain degree, but he's still very much relies dominantly on his power pitching, and I don't know if he has that left. It's going to be interesting to see. Right now, I'm going to go on to All-Star break off optimistic because I know this team can get hot. They have done it before. They still got some injuries to work on. I'm hoping that Mr. Dombrowski has a deal up his sleeve for at least a reliever who can kind of maybe steady the bullpen a little bit, be somebody who we can at least get from starter to Soria, because Hakeem Soria has been having a good year. But it's going to be key that we make a move to kind of secure this pitching a little bit. I think the lineup is going to be okay. Cespedes has been doing his thing. Iglesias has been surprising. Ghost has been surprising. Rodney Davis has been surprising. Castellanos at third base, we got to get him swinging the bat a little bit. It's going to be tough for Avila to get back in the lineup because this guy, Bob McCann, is really, really doing his thing out there. I look forward to seeing what Avila has. He never really was known for a big bat. No, mostly as a defensive a catcher, but he has, you know, been timely with his hitting with us. But because of his injury situation, his history, I think he may be on the downside of his career, and I think Bob McCann may be coming around just at the right time to be a godsend to us down the stretch. But it's going to be definitely interesting to see what the Tigers really have to offer. Remember, this is Blog Talk Radio. Detroit Sports Wrap. You can check us out every Wednesday. Well, I can't say every Wednesday. We're going to be alternating, it seems like, between Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. But definitely check out our archives, blogtalkradio.com/BIG-C-313. Check us out. I'm usually here with my cohort, Elliot. We'll be getting through it today. Let's talk about the NBA. Last week, the NBA held its annual draft. You know, normal characters pretty much, you know, went basically how we thought it was going to go until it got to our pick. And I'm only going to speak for myself. But I thought the cards had kind of fallen the way that they needed to fall for us to have a shot at Justin Winslow, who's a player that I thought very highly of. I know all these guys in the NBA, like going to the NBA now, are questionable. I mean, these guys are one-year guys. 18, 19 years old, basically strong little boys going to play in the man's league. Some of them have the potential to go in there and dominate a few, a very, very select few, like LeBron. You know, some of them have the ability to come in and make a big impact early in their career, like Kevin Garnett did. It took him a couple of years before he became dominant, but he was a player when he came in. A lot of these guys, though, it takes so long for them to develop, and some of them just don't develop. I think that's the chance you're taking when you're drafting these young guys. But I thought Winslow was going to be our guy. He was there along with Stanley Johnson, who I heard that the club really, really liked as well. Actually, one of my homeboys spoke very highly of Stanley Johnson. I'm going to give him his props, Arnett. He said Stanley Johnson was probably going to be our pick. He liked him. He had saw him in AAU ball. I hadn't seen much of him. A little bit I saw, but I'm not going to say I wasn't impressed. He was a solid player, but I just thought Justin Winslow would have more upside and definitely more polished right now. But we get him. I do some research on him. I'm still going to definitely stand by. I think Winslow is maybe the better player. But come to find out, these guys have been playing AAU basketball together, along with Kelly Oubre, for years, since they were like 8 or 9 years old. Tom was a former professional basketball player, college basketball player, professional basketball player, played overseas, was enshrined in someone's Hall of Fame. She also was a coach.
taught him the game. She talked about on draft day how, you know, she definitely wanted him to be a cerebral player, to be a player that just didn't have to shoot or dribble, but the guy who can play multiple positions and do multiple things. I think that's going to be a strength. He's a guy that can defend. They stay up to four positions. I think he's really much, pretty much maybe a two, a three, and maybe a four. I don't think I'll put him on a point guard, a nice point guard. I don't think I like my matchup of him against a center either. But he's a tough-minded guy who I think definitely needs his offensive game to develop. I'm going to definitely compare him and Winslow their first couple years in the league. He said that himself. He said, hey, we've been being compared since we were little kids. And Kelly Aubrey, who was also a small forward, went to Kansas, was drafted as well. So I hope you can add something to it, but I'm going to tell you what, it says something when you draft a guy in the lottery with the eighth pick, and a week later your number one priority is the small forward position, the guy, the position you just drafted. So that either tells me something about him or that tells me about the overall class of these rookies that's coming in here. We get lottery picks that's coming in here averaging 3 or 4 points a game. A guy that I thought was going to be real good from Indiana, last name is Vonleh, guy athletic, big, played inside and out of Indiana. This guy's barely averaging 4 or 5 points last year, barely getting in the game, so we can't really expect much from him. But going into that, free agency has begun. I had a number of stories to talk about, but it's been so many signings and things already. I want to talk a little bit about that because that does affect what possibly the Pistons could be doing in their free agent hunt. Some of the big deals that went down, Kevin Love, 5 years, $110 million, re-signed with LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kawhi Leonard, re-signed with San Antonio, 5 years, $90 million. Jimmy Butler, re-signed for the Bulls, 5 years, $90 million. He has a player option for the 5th year, so he can opt out. Anthony Davis got an extension. This is the truth. This is the future of the NBA, folks. And they paid him like that. 5 years could be worth up to $145 million. That's the number they're throwing out there now. We don't know the specifics right now, but this is the NBA. And generally, the contracts are guaranteed. There may be some bonuses and all that to possibly get him up to that number. But either way it goes, he's going to be in that $25 to $30 million a year player. And this is his 4th year. The guy's skills, definitely check him out. A couple guys, and I'm going to say this about Joe D. Everyone gets on Joe D, say he did a bad job here. I'm not going to lie, he didn't win basketball games, but he definitely at times was effective in getting talent. And people said that he messed up the last couple years. I think he messed up with Villanueva and Ben Gordon. And Allen Iverson trade. Those are the two big. I'm sorry, and Darko. Those are the big three that messed him up. I think later in his career, he was acquiring pieces. He didn't quite have. Unfortunately, he had to go through the sale of the team where they really didn't have the coaching stability that they needed. But some of his pieces that were traded away or sent away really deep in their pockets today. Kyle Singler signed with OKC, re-signed. 5 years, $25 million. Brevin Knight, re-signed with the Phoenix Suns for five years, $70 million. Chris Middleton, a second-round pick of Joe D. We traded him and Brevin Knight to the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks made the playoffs this year. Brandon Jennings tore his Achilles, and I can't remember who else we got. But Chris Middleton, second-round pick a couple years ago, 5 years, $70 million. Man, that affects us directly because, A, our number one target on our team is Reggie Jackson, who the people have said is a slightly better player than Brevin Knight. So when Brevin Knight gets 5 years, $70 million, Reggie Jackson is somewhere in that 5 years, $74, $75, $78 million range. So now we're paying him $15, $16 million. Could be. small forwards, Danny Green from San Antonio, signed a four-year, $45 million with them. I said Kawhi Leonard re-signed with them for 5 years, $90 million. DeMar Carroll of the Atlanta Hawks, formerly of the Atlanta Hawks, signed a four-year, $60 million deal with the Toronto Raptors. Danny Green reportedly was the first call that the Detroit Pistons made during the free agent period. DeMar Carroll was one of the earlier calls that they made and during the free agent period. So these are two of their top targets. They're two unrestricted free agent top targets already off the board within the first day, 24 hours of the free agent period. They're kind of scrambling right now. There's a couple guys, Tobias Harris, who I can tell you right now, I don't know much about him at all. I haven't seen much of Orlando. I know numbers-wise, he put up some numbers on a bad team with a very bad supporting cast. He's a restricted free agent, so we would have to offer him, and then his team would have three days to either match the offer, which would keep us probably from kind of talking to other people. So, but really, with Carroll and Green going, why not? He's a guy, he may be, looking at how this money's been going around, he very well may be a guy who can get $17, $18 million. Because I believe he averaged over 17 points last year for Orlando. But he's a guy that they may look at. I heard Aflalo has been talking to the Knicks. He may be an option for the Pistons. Wesley Matthews, shooting guard, he's a free agent, unrestricted free agent from Portland. He may be a target of the Pistons, but I think they're scrambling right now because the reality is right now Stanley Johnson may be the starting three. The only other three on the roster is Cartier Martin, Quincy Miller, the developmental player that they're trying to make into a swing for. He possibly can give you some minutes at the three, but that's pretty much it. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the coming days to secure a small four for this lineup. Some other key guys, Greg Monroe. I want to say speculatively, formerly of the Pistons. He came out a couple days ago and said the Pistons basically didn't want him. Said that Stan McGundy has basically had smaller teams in Orlando. He built it around Dwight Howard. Said that Drummond is his Dwight Howard here, and that when he traded for the young man Ilseyova from Milwaukee, that it effectively brought in a stretch forward to replace him. Pistons management has said, it's going to be tough to pay him, and Drummond is a max player, and that they expect to pay him the max next year, and then they're going to pay Jackson this year. Still have Jennings under contract if they don't move him, and possibly another free agent or two. We know that the money's going to go up next year, but it's still a little bit of a burden to have to pay Monroe the money that he may have thought he was due, because I'm telling you, he's probably due $18-19 million in this $17-18 million in this market. Anywhere between 15 and 18, I would say. Guys are getting $14-15 million out the door. He hasn't been an all-star, but he's been a double-double guy. Yeah, definitely can get 15 to 18 out of him. So let me take a quick little sip here. And we're going to talk about some of the bigger names that are floating around there. LaMarcus Aldridge has visited L.A. Word is coming out now that he wasn't impressed with L.A. Also visited San Antonio today. The Spurs are putting something together. They re-signed Kawhi Leonard, who I think is going to be a future all-star in this league. Very good player. They re-signed Danny Green, who's a very good role player, solid shooter, can knock it down, athletic, very solid defender as well. Younger guy, middle-aged guy in terms of NBA years. You have some young guys off the bench, and you have the big guy, Tim Duncan, for one, possibly two more years at it. LaMarcus Aldridge can go there and be a piece that they can use this year to possibly get over the top in the West with Ginobili and Tony Parker, who are getting up there in age as well. But you get a guy in there like Kawhi, let him handle more of the load, and add a LaMarcus, you not only can make a run now, but now you extend the viability of San Antonio's basketball life, because now you have two all-stars on one team. I think Kawhi is going to be a great player. LaMarcus already is a very good player. So now you have something to build around with probably, I don't know how many millions. I should have looked it up. I'm sorry. I apologize. But with Tim Duncan money walking out the door, Tony Parker money probably for another year or two. Parker came over probably another year or two for him. And Ginobili, any moment now, maybe walking out the door after this one. If they win the championship, I can see both of them kind of walking away. And you have money to build for two great players around it and some solid role players there. I think that's really, really a good look for San Antonio if they can get them. I'm speculating to the fullest there, but I think that would be a possible great landing spot. There's word that he may land here. We may have to do a sign of trade to get him now because the market is just exploding. Guys like Paul Millsap, who was an all-star last year, I'm not going to take anything from him, offered the max, 4 years, $80 million from Orlando and Atlanta. Just a number of guys getting great money. Goran Dragic, the point guard in Miami, got a bunch of money. So the money's flying around. There's still a couple big guys, like I said, that are out here. DeAndre Jordan is visiting the Lakers, still in talks with the Clippers, and plans to visit some other teams as well. Greg Monroe plans to visit the L.A. Lakers, the Washington Wizards, the New York Knicks. Interesting story here, Draymond Green, you know, from Saginaw, won a championship with the Golden State Warriors, out here trying to, you know, do his thing, happy smile. And the Pistons said they were interested in him. He said, you know, he was going to resign with Golden State. It was a done deal. Owner said they wanted him. Everybody was smiling. Within 24 hours of free agency, he's broken off talks, disgusted, disrespected, feeling ashamed. I can't believe this. How could you come at me like this? What the fuck? He everywhere with it. You know what I'm saying? Already. I don't know what they offered him. I haven't seen reportedly what they're offering or how far away they are, but it seems like they're very, very, very far away for him to walk away so early. Now, I think it's early. This is his first kind of dalliance in free agency. Maybe he's taking things a little bit personal. It happens to you sometimes. He'll probably be back at the table. But I found that very interesting. With all this money flying around, to some very good players and to some Joe Schmoes, that Draymond Green pushed away from the table and said, you know what, I need to breathe some fresh air. Y'all do too. Holla back at me. funny, man. You got to watch him out here. Just trying to see if there's anything popping with the NBA as we speak, trying to be as current with it as we can here. Currently, the Tigers were up 1-0 over the Pirates, but, wow, just witnessed a two-run homer to right field off of Alfredo Simon. So now it is 2-1 Pirates. Can't see any top of the third. So, and he just gave up another hit, no outs. Hope this is not a big, big inning for them. Let's get back on deck. We saw before free agency started, we saw some key players like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade opt out of their contracts and their free agents. It's been an interesting story kind of floating around that LeBron would be, you know, open to the idea of Dwayne Wade coming to Cleveland. I don't know how the numbers would work. I don't know how the numbers are going to work currently because you got Kevin Love with 5 years, $110 million. Then you have Tristan Thompson, they say, is getting near to a deal. I don't have the exact numbers on that right now, but he's an unrestricted free agent. A restricted free agent is Ivan Shumpert, so they're going to have to probably do something with him, I would think. And then you have LeBron, who probably is going to put them into the luxury tax threshold. So I wonder, can a small market team, I know Dan Gilbert's getting a lot of money here in Detroit, and he's doing a lot of good things probably in Cleveland as well, But could he would he afford the luxury tax at such a high level to go out and acquire? I'm sorry, absorb that luxury tax to go out and acquire the likes of a Dwayne Wade. I think it's interesting. Dwayne still is a little beat up. He's definitely long in the tooth. He's not the same explosive player that he once was, but he's still a very cerebral player. He still can make plays. I think he had a little bit of a resurgence here last year besides the injuries in terms of statistical influx. And with a team like LeBron playing the way he is, and with him having a couple of players around him that can play, now you have Love secured. Hopefully the point guard can come back off an injury and be healed, not totally, but be somewhat healed. You can definitely see a team ready to make a run. And, you know, shoot, I definitely can see them getting rid of the APB. I won't even say his name because it's the APB because he's still missing out here from the finals. I can definitely see him replacing him in the lineup, Dwayne replacing him in the lineup, resting him, maybe playing him 55, 60 games during the season, giving him 10, 15 games of rest. In those 60 games, maybe not playing them more than 25 minutes a night, keeping them fresh for the postseason, and then making a run. I could definitely see that one more time. I don't know how long Dwayne got out here either. You know, his knees are kind of going on him as well. So it'd be interesting to see. Hearing some rumors. I'm hearing some rumors out here. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot a couple guys who also signed. Tyson Chandler, no longer with the Mavs. 4 years, $52 million with Phoenix. Phoenix is trying to do a little something. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of money being spent. The Pistons can't spend a dime, though. Wow, I wonder, I know Elliot always said we can't get those premium free agents. I don't know if it's the team anymore. I'm sorry, if it's the people, he tries to, sometimes I think he feels it's the area or whatever. But I don't know if it's the area or the organization, man, because we for a minute there, we would get, you know, decent players, it seemed like, through free agency and through trade. I will give Van Gundy a little bit of praise. He did get rid of Josh Smith. He did bring in this guy, Tolliver, who was a solid, you know, player last year. He did bring in Augustine, who was a solid player last year for us. He did bring in Reggie Jackson, who I think is going to be a solid player for us. He did, you know, try to make some improvements with the roster to upgrade the talent. But it's going to be key to see, can this kind of, I don't want to say small ball, but it's a little bit of softer version of ball to me. Less physical, more athletic, and more shooting required. If this can be effective, but can we spend this money that we have? We finally got ourselves in position to spend $18-20 million out here for either one very good player or a couple good players, and we can't even get a sniff. That's something to ponder. That's definitely something to ponder. We're gonna ponder on that for a little bit. I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to move over to the Lions. NFL news. We're definitely in the offseason, folks. We've got mini camps are wrapped up. You know what I'm saying? We're getting ready for the training camp, which is going to be popping off in early August. We got a month of downtime. So we gotta make some news, gotta make some headlines. So what I want to talk about this today was a little bit about what we expect to see or what we hope to see in training camp. And I thought I was gonna be able to bounce this off my boy Al, but whatever. I'm about to bounce off myself. I feel like I'm on an island, like my man Tom Hanks talking to myself, but that's okay. We're gonna get it done, people. Y'all out there with me. I see you, Pook. I see you, baby. But what was a little bit alarming to me, disheartening, if you will, disconcerting, was that my man, Joy Bell, Wayne State alum, solid running back, solid goal linebacker with receiving skills who fits this offense when he's healthy nicely, has not been healthy the whole offseason. I knew he had some knee problems. I thought he had a little ankle something. I didn't know anything about an Achilles. He had some surgery. Don't know exactly what it was on. Doing some rehab. I thought he was going to be back sometime doing OTAs, but he wasn't. Didn't participate in the minicamp. It's going to be important that he be ready to do his role. I think him and Abdullah can be a very solid tandem. Abdullah may be special, maybe go back to Nebraska days and can carry a load. That'll be great. But I really think that they can be kind of like in a duo, like similar to what Cincinnati has with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. Except I'm going to tell you this, Jeremy Hill is special. He ran for like over 1,100 yards last year. And I'm going to tell you, he did like 1,000 of them in like 8 games only. He's a special guy, so watch him out for fantasy and real time. He's special. But I think that they definitely can have that thunder and lightning type, you know what I'm saying, mixed with Abdullah being able to catch some passes out of the backfield, and everything that we hear is that he was an outstanding pass catcher. May cut into Theo Reddick's playing time as the third down back. We got to watch that. That's something to watch. But with Joy Bell being able to be a pounder, to be able to guy who can handle the early down work, and some third down work, us being able to pass the ball on first or second down because he is such a good blocker, bringing a little bit of element of surprise to the offense, I think is key. But he has to be healthy. And I love the way he runs around the goal line. If you give him a little bit of a crease and a little bit of, he smells the goal line. If he can be healthy, he's definitely a threat for double-digit touchdowns. So they give it to him down there if they get close. So that's definitely one thing I'm looking at for them. Another guy who was hurt was Levy. Don't know exactly what he was dealing with either, but he didn't do very much for the beginning of OTAs, and then he got into individual drills but not team drills, and I believe it was the same way for that for the minicamp. He's basically the quarterback of the defense. I know Tulloch is back. He's going to play in that middle. But this guy, in terms of his playmaking ability, he's all over the field. Making plays against the run, making plays in the passing game, playing zone, taking things away from, you know, quarterbacks and wide receivers. Not a big sack guy, but he can, you know, he's an opportunistic blitzer as well. So he's a guy that we have to have out there for our defense to be effective. Tulloch, we know he's coming off the ACL injury. He did that earlier in the season, so I'm expecting him to be a little closer to ready to go. He didn't participate in team drills with OTAs or minicamp either. So it's key that he is healthy because he will be manning that middle and will allow us to put a linebacking core out there that should rival anybody's in the NFL. I'm not going to say they're better, but they should rival them. When you look at a Tulloch, a Levy, Tahrir Whitehead, and now you add into the mix – Benoit, you have Vines as well. You have some guys who have ability to cover, a couple guys who are very good blitzers, and a guy who can possibly be a pass rusher. So you've got a very, very, very talented group of guys who can cover, a very, very talented group of linebackers that you can put out there in a couple different ways. Now it's 4-1. Fredo Simons having a tough time, top of the third. We're still in that inning, becoming a big inning. I'm sorry, I digress. So those are the three big things I want to see in training camp, those three guys healthy. In terms of development and what the things I want to see, I got to see my man Staff. I got to see him try or show me that he's going to take that next step and be a legitimate big-time quarterback. People don't like him. But the boy Romo, he will make the mistake, no doubt about it. He will make the mistake. If you put him up there too many times, he's going to strike out, he's going to make a mistake. But he's a big-time quarterback at times. He puts his teams in position to win a lot of games, a lot of games. He will lose some, but you can't lose them if you're not in position, though. You know what I'm saying? Stafford has had his you know, moments of big time wins and things, but the consistency isn't there. I can't say consistently he's going to give me 4,700 yards and 25 to 30 touchdowns. I can't say that. Aaron Rodgers, I can say that. Andrew Luck, I can say that. Even Tom Brady, I can say that. A number of guys, I can say that. Russell Wilson, when you look at rushing and pass, I know he's going to give me close to 25 to 30 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? You can't say that with him consistently, and that's the problem. He hasn't consistently he's only completed over 60% of his passes 2 years since he's been in the league. So he has to show that he can be a leader, not just in the clubhouse, but a leader on the field and can lead men to victories. Defensive line, interior. We talk about a Caron Reed who, by all accounts, has taken a step up, who's improved, was Sue's shadow last year, workout partner. They hung out together. You know, they call him Lil Sue. So, you know, maybe he's ready to take a step up. I don't know. He played very limited snaps last year. Again, though, they did have Nick Fairley, and they did have C.J. Mosley as well in there, and Flew Ellen. So he was kind of behind three good players. But now he's to the forefront with Nada, who we know is a good player, but I think he's a little bit over the hill. The guys behind him don't know exactly who they're going to be. Tyron Walker was one guy. Don't know much about him. Gabe Northern, a guy we drafted from Auburn. I seem to be a little bit more active his junior year than last year. But, hey, we got to see what we got. Can the guy step up to the challenge and be able to stop the run and push the pocket in the passing game? Can they not duplicate, per se, but provide some push and provide some type of offset for what we lost in Sue, Mosley, and Fairley? And if we don't get that, our defense is going to be in trouble because we were built on being able to rush the passer with those guys, maybe bringing some more pressure. We did blitz a little bit more, but those guys were the basic, you know what I'm saying, were the base of it, and we were either able to lay back in coverage or maybe send a couple more guys after you and make a mistake. But it's going to be key for those guys to do it up front. And that's what I want to see in camp, man. As far as some of these other NFL news, the big news is we're still awaiting, it's Wednesday, we're still awaiting news of the Tom Brady appeal. I think we were told last week that it's probably going to be the end of this week. Now I'm looking at it being the holiday. Probably it'll be the middle or the end of next week. But we hear something. I said last week I expect the NFL, Tom Brady, to meet somewhere in the middle where his fines are reduced. I'm sorry, not his fines. His suspension is reduced by a game or two, possibly. And the NFL, you know, maintains that, you know, they had to do something to him to keep the integrity of the game, but the infraction was minimal. That saves space. That says Tom really didn't do too much, really, and they really didn't give him a competitive edge, and we really didn't lose control of our game or the integrity of the game. And, you know, he wasn't forthcoming, so we did punish him for that. And that's our whole point, was just to get him for not coming, being forthcoming, because the incident itself is minor. And that way both sides save face. The NFL doesn't want a controversy saying that they can't control what's going on, the integrity of their game. They can't control, you know, the outcome because guys have competitive advantages. They don't want to admit that to anyone. And Tom doesn't want to be seen as a cheater. So what do we have? Okay, let's minimize the offense, saying, hey, it wasn't that big of a deal. They didn't offer him a competitive edge, and because of that, the fine was $25,000. They didn't fine much more than that, $1 million, actually. So, okay, we're good there. So we're actually going to suspend him from not coming forward or being forthcoming with information. So with that being the case, now we can reduce it to two games because, you know, it's not about the offense. It's about him not being forthcoming. And that way everyone wins. He doesn't lose his little legacy as, you know, not being tainted. NFL teams in control of their product, I think that's how it's going to roll. I know I wish L was here because L hates Tom Brady, hates the Patriots, and he would be saying they need to give him another game. If he lose, if he win, okay, but if he lose, they should give him 6 games in all season. He'll be saying something like that because he hates Tom Brady. But I'm eager to see how it goes. And would it be shocking to me if the NFL gives him 4 games? It'll be one of two things. They're saying, hey, we're not playing any games. You need to be forthcoming. And or, yes, you did commit an offense, and it was a major offense in our eyes, and we may have lost control of the integrity of the game, but because of that, we have to come down on you severely. So, yeah, we're going to give you that first-round draft. No, I'm sorry. We're going to take that first-round pick and that $1 million, and you're still going to sit for 4 games because we need people to understand how serious this is. I would be surprised if they take that stance, but if they suspend him, I'm sorry, if they upheld the 4-game suspension, that's how I'm taking it, whether they say it or not. Got to be able to read between the lines, people. Got to be able to read between the lines. So, at this moment in time, your boy is slightly winded. Slightly winded. So we're going to go through a little small song break. And then we're going to come right back and give you our last piece of information. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL. We're going to talk about some teams that we think can be Super Bowl contenders, sleepers, and will be busts. Also, some teams that could possibly surprise and maybe, you know, jump up to the sleeper or contender area. And we're also going to talk about some fantasy football guys, some guys who can be possibly comeback players, guys who, you know, were hurt last year or just had down years, but possibly can be valuable this year. We'll talk about some breakout guys, some guys who, you know, could possibly be the difference between you being a loser in your league or a winner in your league. So give me a second. I'm going to throw on some collard greens for a second. I'm going to go up here and probably see if my girl is going to make some collard greens. No, I'll be back in 1 second. Let me wet the whistle. Here we go. A little bit of that Kendrick. Get back at me. Give me 3 minutes.
More this, I'm more this, in fact, I know she missed the way I floored this, I'm focused, I know my right, let me blow this bitch. I'm famous, I blame this on you. Cash in the fur, I hang it, my penthouse roof. Skyline the clearest, watch it, your optics. Popping out, you look the weirdest. Pop my top on the 105, head with no power steering. Ah,
oh, oh, luxury. Chitty ching ching, could buy anything, cop that. Oh, oh, collard green. 3 degrees low, make it hot for me, drop that. Oh, 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 damn, yeah, with the shit, can't shoot, stop this. Yeah, yeah, with the shit, hey. Oh, 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 damn, with the shit, yeah, this, that, this, that, damn, with the shit.
Bummy nigga, oh, famous, oh, oh, yeah, straight, yeah, from the bottom, broke niggas hate it.
Yeah,
they'll,
yeah,
never rob them guns in the basement. Fragrance, me love marijuana, function on fire. Burn the room, fuck this month of sight. What is calling? Go crazy like no other weed, steady blowing. Pass the bud to my mama, runs in the family. But fuck, keep a nigga fiending. Faded, 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 ride. Shot glass, super size. She gon' get some dick tonight. Meet me at the W, and no, it's not the west side. Stick it up your south side. Baller, futuristic, groovy, gangster with an attitude. What these niggas make a year, I spend that on my daughter's shoes. Smoking weed and drinking, know the college students loving you. We gon' turn it out until the neighbors wanna party too.
Luxury, chitty ching ching, could buy anything, cop that. Oh, oh, collard green. 3 degrees low, make it hot for me, drop that. Oh, 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 damn,
yeah,
shit, can't shoot, stop this.
Yep. Back with you for the last call for alcohol, baby. This is Big C. This is Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host. My co-host couldn't make it tonight, so I'm doing the Iron Man, going all the way through. Got my water, got my sweet tea, and I'm trying to get us through this. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about the Brady decision. I'm about done with that. We'll see how that goes. Expect a decision probably next week sometime. They may string it out a little bit. Like I said, nothing's going on, and, you know, as long as it's out there, people are going to talk about it. But let's talk about some of our early outlooks, man. I know it's very, very early. Things are going to change. But, again, I thought my boy L was going to be here. We'd be able to take some things down, write some things down, take some notes, and record some things, and maybe make some board bets and things of that sort. But he's not here today. But I want to do some early outlooks, look at some teams that we think can possibly be contenders in the AFC and the NFC, and this is very, very early. But one of the teams that I really, really like, and I like them year in, year out, you're probably saying this guy says this every year, but I'm still going one of my teams that's going to be a contender for the Super Bowl in the NFC is for the Green Bay Packers. I already know Seattle's still going to be there. They did take a few defensive hits, though. They did take a few defensive hits in terms of free agency. They lost a couple guys on that offensive line. Marshawn Lynch is still going to be a beast, but he's a year older. They did add Jimmy Graham, which is going to be key. They got a couple wide receivers coming back. But I think I still like what Green Bay offers offensively. They're going to give a lot of teams problems, you know, especially now that they have Lacy, who can give them a ground game attack, and also a big body around the goal line. We already had Aaron Rodgers. You already have Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb is developing to a tremendous playmaker out of the slot. You added to that a young guy like Devontae Adams. And like I said, the run game, they have what it takes to win in any environment. In a shootout, through the air, in a tough game, maybe with some tough elements, with Lacy at the running back position, they have what you need. The big question is going to be defensively. Clay had to play in the middle last year. That really hurt him. He's back outside. They've got a couple young guys. They've invested heavily in their defense the last couple years. And it's hard to see the improvement not really take place consistently for them. But I think that they're going to be a playoff, not only a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender. They're going to have to get through the likes of Seattle and some other tough teams, but they're, you know, have what it takes to get there. On the AFC, now this is purely hard, So I'm telling you, the AFC looks so wide open. You look at what New England lost at the wide receiver spot, possible suspension for Brady, the improvement of some of those teams in that division, all of them, Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami. New England can be in a little bit of trouble. We're going to talk about them a little later. But the team over there that I'm going with, and this is purely on, I like the team, I like the player, I like the coach, Pittsburgh Steelers. I like Big Ben. He's a very talented guy. He's been underappreciated, I think, from time to time. He doesn't have the super, super gaudy numbers because he's been in basically run-oriented offenses, especially early when he won the Super Bowl or when he went to a Super Bowl. Now these teams are kind of more up-tempo, more high-power. He has Antonio Brown, who's one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in the game right now. He's got another cachet of young guys, Marcus Wheaton, Martavius Bryant, and they added another guy this year in the draft out of Georgia. His name escapes me right now, but they're talking about him being a big-time player. Coates, I believe, Sam Coates, a big-time, I'm sorry, not out of Georgia, out of Auburn, a big-time player. They have a load of talent. Then you throw in Le'Veon Bell, who to me looks like, and I hate to throw this pressure on him, an Arian Foster 2.0 with his ability to run between the tackles, speed and quickness to get outside, vision to get outside, but also the ability to get out in the passing routes, run those passing routes very nimbly, and catch the ball with great hands. This guy is capable of 70, 80, 100 catches and can do things with the football once he gets it. Man, they have a tough offense. Their question with them is their defense. Asian defense, we had some guys tired. Ike Taylor, Paulo Amo, those guys all retired. They've got to replace them. They also invested very heavily on the defensive side of the ball. And we haven't really seen the returns, but I think this year, and they lose the defensive coordinator. Got a new defensive coordinator, so a little continuity there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I look at AFC, and I don't know who's a clear-cut favorite. You got Denver out there, but you know how Peyton Manning kind of has floundered. I shouldn't say floundered. Has not played very well the last couple games, the last couple seasons. I'm sorry, the last two seasons. So the last month of the season, last two seasons, he's had a hard time. You know what I mean? So I don't know about him. That's the AFC West. The East can be anybody: Miami, the Jets, Buffalo, New England. But right now, New England would be the only team I would say has Super Bowl aspirations, even out of those three. And I'm not even up on New England right now. The AFC South, Indianapolis is definitely going to be a team that's going to be touted as a Super Bowl contender, and they should be. They did very well in the free agent market, picking up guys like Trent Cole, picked up Andre Johnson on the offensive side of the football. They had a decent draft as well. I just don't know if they picked up enough defense. But I'm going to tell you right now, I love their head coach, Pagano. But I'm going to need him to be a little bit more, field a little bit tougher defense. He went over there as a head coach, and he is like he was supposed to be the defensive guru. And those teams have yet, that Indy team has yet to field a good defense, in my opinion. They have some stats that have had some years where they've had some decent stats, but consistently they've been soft in the middle, soft against the run. They've had some years where they've caused a lot of turnovers and maybe scored on some of those turnovers. Ben kind of didn't break at times, but they've been soft against the run and giving up too many big plays consistently. So I think that they definitely need to get better. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender as well. And then you look at the AFC North. The whole division is pretty much, except for Cleveland, is pretty much going to be possibly a Super Bowl contender. If Cincinnati had a better quarterback, they could possibly be there. They possibly, to me, have one of the best rosters in the NFL with the quarterback and the consistency of the quarterback and the coaches. I'm not going to lie. Marvin, to me, leaves a little bit to be desired. He doesn't call every play, but for the head coach, I think, you know, he can do a little bit more. So with that being said, Pittsburgh is my Super Bowl team over there. Now, my sleeper, this is tough to call because everybody seems to be a sleeper to me. It's like nobody's really dominant. It's just like a bunch of teams in the middle. But I went deep for this. My sleeper, I went with the L.A. Rams. Bottom line is they're tremendously talented defensively, one of the best fronts in football, a tremendous linebacking corps, and a very solid secondary, you know, aggressive secondary, guys who like to hit, who make plays. But when you got guys up front who can rush the passer and you got your second level who can blow and run to the ball and blitz like crazy, your backside don't have to be all that great. And they're growing. They're young, but they're getting better. They can cause turnovers. Offensively, you look at a Gurley, you look at a Trey Mason who had some success last year. You look at a strong offensive run game. Jeff Fisher is kind of always favored an offensive run game. He's made some improvements on that offensive line. And I think the most underrated move that they made was swindling Sam Bradford, who, when healthy, I guess is a good quarterback. But the problem is he's never healthy. I've never seen the guy. I think he played one season. I may be wrong, but I think he's played one complete season since he's been in the league. That's not healthy for Nick Foles. Now, Nick Foles had a wonderful year that first year, may have been a product of the system. Last year, threw a lot more interceptions, turned the ball over a few more times, was a little bit more inaccurate. But at times, though, made some big-time throws. I think with the team that's a little bit more pro-style offense, which is what he was used to coming out of college, with a little bit more balance, even though Chip Kelly liked to run the football, I think more in the pro-style offense, he's going to be I think he can have success. And boy, wearing out over here, getting a little tired. But I think he can have some serious success out there in, with the up to the L.A. Rams. It's going to be the St. Louis Rams. In the AFC, I had to go with my boy Sue, man. I can't leave Sue alone. He went to a team I think is very talented up front. With him, they added C.J. Mosley over there. They have Werner on the outside, and the other outstanding defensive end whose name escapes me on the outside. So they've got a lot of talent on that defensive line. They had to get some linebackers, so they had to give a lot of people away when they signed Sue, and they also signed Tannehill to a big deal. So they got some guys who are eating up the cap. But they also have some good guys on the back end. You got Brent Grimes on the back end, a couple solid safeties back there. So they got a solid defense. Offensively, Ryan Tannehill was one of the top 10 quarterbacks last year in real or fantasy. He was a guy who was making some plays out there. Now, you look at their team, and you have a little bit of trepidation because you wasn't really scared of their wide receiving core last year. They did have Jarvis Landry, who had a solid to good rookie year. Had a couple of other guys who were kind of pedestrian, but had been there in Miami for a couple of years, and that gained a nice rapport with Tannehill. You look at the team now, they traded for Kenny Stills from New Orleans. They brought in or they drafted Devontae Parker from Louisville, who had a foot injury last year, only played like 6-7 games, very impressive. First round pick, but he's still having some injury issues with that foot. I believe he had surgery again. I don't know if he's going to be ready for camp or not. He's a big target. Also signed the veteran Greg Jennings. So you're talking about a totally revamped wide receiving core. So is Tannehill going to have that? Is he going to have that chemistry that he needs? I don't know. But I will say this: there's no lack of talent there. Kenny Stills is the underrated receiver in New Orleans. Devontae Parker has looked all the part in film that I've seen of him. He's 6'5", 6'6", long strider. He only ran like a 4'5", I think, I don't want to say only. He ran like a 4'4", 8", 4'5", type 40, but he's a guy who can separate and get deep and make acrobatic catches when he's healthy. A big time player, definitely. So I went with him as my sleeper in the NFC. Now, as far as bust, now, it was hard to say, man. I'm going to start in the AFC because this is one of the hardest picks I've made in a long time, and I'm going to do it with an asterisk. That's number one. I'm going to give me a caveat to get out of this if something happens. Because anybody can get out of this, it's my boy Belichick in there who can get out of this. But right now, I'm looking at New England being a bust, and here's why. They lost so much talent on that team over the summer. I know that my man Belichick usually does a good job drafting. He usually is pretty good at seeing when the guy is about ready to get on out of here and he can trade you for something, or he'll cut you, you know, probably in the prime of your contract in your eyes. But in his eyes, like, you're not in the prime of your at the peak, at your peak professionally wise. So I'm going to let you go and go with somebody who's a little bit better. So, with that being said, you lose Revis, okay? You lose Browner, okay? Those two corners allowed you to do so many things defensively, okay? Brandon Spikes has had, he had re-signed there. He's had a problem with his car, off-the-field issue. Now he's not going to be in the middle linebacker anymore there, okay? You have Vince Wilfork, who was let go, released, whatever you want to call it, and he's going on to the Houston organization, the Texans. Okay, so you lose ability, you lose talent, you lose experience, you lose a guy in the locker room with that guy. That guy's been around there for almost all the Super Bowls. You lose that guy. Now, I still would be straight with him, but with the possibility of losing all those guys and Brady not playing, I don't know, folks. With those possibilities, I'm going with New England as being the bust over there. And for the NFC, it was tough, very, very tough as well. But, this wasn't really that tough, really. And they really, you might want to, you know, get on me a little bit, folks, because it's not really that big of a bust. But the San Francisco 49ers, man, they consistently have been to the playoffs. Last year with Al Harbaugh, they went 8-8. But this year, all these guys retiring, the new coach, the continuity is kind of, I think, going over there. I think they're going to be a team that's probably going to win 6 games or less. So that's what I have for those guys. Let's talk a little bit about some of this fantasy football. Oh, I did have some teams that could surprise, some teams that, you know, to improve and possibly get into the playoffs and maybe be a sleeper team. Minnesota, man, I like Minnesota and what they're doing over there. Adrian Peterson being back in the fold. Mike Zimmer's he's a new head coach, but he's an old school guy who's energized those guys, a great defensive mind, who puts a solid defense out there. They have a lot of young talent on the defense side of the ball, as well as the offensive side. Charles Johnson, standout year last year as a rookie from Grand Valley State University. I'm going to give him props. They picked up Mike Wallace from the Miami Dolphins. My man Teddy Bridgewater gets his second year in the saddle there. Now he gets Adrian Peterson back. Man, they possibly can take that step and be a very, very competitive team with a few breaks to get into the playoffs, maybe 10-6. I'm thinking they're going to be somewhere between 8-8 and 10-6, but there's Daniel's team. You got to definitely watch them. The other team is I have to go with one or two teams, either L's team, Buffalo. I just knew he was going to pick Buffalo if he was here. But I'm going to go with the Jets. It all comes down to Geno Smith. You look at that team and what they've done. I think they're going to find a running back somehow, some way. They've got Zach Stacy over there. They've got Chris Ivory over there. They've got Stephen Ridley when he's healthy, coming off an ACL injury over there. I'm thinking they're going to find them a running back. I think Bilal Powell may be still there. So I think they're going to find a running back out of those four, or maybe somebody else, I don't know. But some type of reasonable running game should be able to emerge if those guys are healthy. They have a solid offensive line. offensively at the receiver spot. You had Decker 2 years ago. Now you add, you had, from Chicago. The big receiver from Chicago. His name is going to come to me in 1 second. Don't worry about it. And also Devin Smith, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. You add those guys to your offensive repertoire, you've got the makings of a solid offense. All we need is that quarterback who can put it all together. The wide receiver Brandon Marshall from Chicago was over there, and he's been putting in a lot of extra work this summer with Geno Smith trying to become a better player. They also picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think is a solid backup quarterback. He's going to push Geno if Geno's not on his game, but he's a solid quarterback. And if Geno falters, he's a guy that can still contend with those guys and possibly push them into the playoffs. Last but not least, as I'm winding down, I'm running out of energy. We're going to talk a little bit about fantasy football. I like to get into it because it's offseason and we can talk about it a little bit. I am a multiple-time champion, multiple. I'm going to keep saying it. I should say it to how many rings I win, but I don't want to be here all night. Let's talk a little bit about some comeback players, some guys who may have had some down years last year who possibly could step up. And let's start with the guy I just talked about, Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall was dinged up last year. The offense just started to sputter in Chicago. Yeah, check down Jay, who completed 102 passes to running back Matt Forte. So he's in a different offense. He's with a different supporting cast. He has a solid number two wide receiver. And Eric Decker is going to be key that they develop some type of running game there. The Jets have a great defense, one of the best in the league, and they added probably the best defensive player in the draft, Leonard Williams, to that defensive line, which possibly could be the best D-lines in the league. I think that, look at the best D-lines in the league, I'm looking at definitely Miami's up there. St. Louis Rams are definitely up there. And the Jets with Wilkerson and those guys that they have over there. So they're tough. But I think Brandon Marshall has the potential to really, really have a big year, possibly eclipse the 1,000-yard mark. I'm looking somewhere between 900 to 1,000 yards. I think he makes his impact somewhat in the red zone, probably 3 or 4 red zone scores and a couple, you know, intermediate to big to long touchdowns. I'm thinking somewhere between 950 yards, 8 to 9 touchdowns for Brandon Marshall. He'll be a solid wide receiver 2, possibly wide receiver 3 or flex play for you. The running back spot, this is a lot of guys who can come in here and qualify for this position of a comeback player. But I'm going to go with Andre Ellington from Arizona. He's a guy who did show some ability to run between the tackles. That was just kind of his knock. He was only 6 feet, 200 pounds. I think he's a little bit heavier than that, not much more. But they said that, you know, he wouldn't be able to run between the tackles. They didn't really get the blocking that they needed consistently there. So I think with some improved offensive line play and with the addition of David Johnson, who's going to probably get a few more carries here and there, a change of pace carries. If he proves himself, possibly he could unseat Ellington. But I think Ellington's going to be solid. He's a solid receiver out of the backfield. And also a guy that you can line up in the slot, like with Dave Megan from the old school type of guy. I see him getting a lot of touches. I see him being somewhere between a 600 to 800-yard rusher, probably 400 to 500 yards receiving, and somewhere between 8 to 10 touchdowns. I'm sure they're not. We won't all be rushing. I'm probably looking at maybe 5 or 6 rushing, maybe 3 or 4 receiving, and be somebody, you know, who can be a solid RB2 for you, RB3 or RB or flex guy for you. The quarterback position, man, I'm going with the same team. And if this guy stays healthy, I'm going to stick him as my second quarterback in fantasy football. But that's Carson Palmer, man. When he's been healthy, which hasn't been for a while, but when he's been healthy, he's been a fairly consistent player. a guy who's played right on the cusp of that top 10, top 12 quarterback round. He has great weapons with the emerging Michael Floyd there. They also have Larry Fitzgerald. He's getting a little longer in the tooth, but he's still producing. He's still out there doing his thing. And they also have John Brown, who was a young guy who made an impact early last year, and then he got injured. We talk about Ellington being able to help them in the passing game. He's kind of a Reggie Bush type of player. And we talk about David Johnson, who's a guy who's 6'2", 225 pounds, can run between the tackles, but also have good hands and a solid route runner and can be a three-down back if he can learn the game and adjust to NFL football. He went to Northern Iowa University and was, a third or fourth-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals. My plan B for the quarterback spot, I had to throw him in there. I didn't know which way L was going to go, so I had to have me some alternate guys if he picked my initial guys. But I think Matt Stafford may be in for a comeback year. Last year he didn't throw for the customary 4,600 yards. He threw for, I think, 4,200 yards. He only had 19 touchdowns, had 12 interceptions. Interception number went down, but the touchdowns really weren't there. I think the second year in this offense, hopefully with an improved line in front of him and a few better weapons. We saw Calvin was out there. We saw what Golden Tate can do. When they were together, they were pretty effective. Well, we didn't see what Ebron can do out there with those guys. We didn't see consistently what a third receiver could do producing that offense. And now we get a Lance Moore-type player in there competing with Corey Fuller, who's going into his third year, as well as some of these other guys. Maybe a third receiver will emerge. Possibly Ebron can step up and at least give us 50, 60 catches and help out the offense, kind of spread it around. But I think it wouldn't be surprising to me if Matt Stafford threw for maybe 4,500 yards and had 25, 26 touchdowns and 10 to 12 interceptions. Those 200 yards and those seven more touchdowns will probably put him very close to a top eight, top 10 quarterback in fantasy leagues. And he's going to be going possibly in the 9th or 10th round, so that could definitely be a good value pick. Let's talk briefly about guys who may break out. I had a couple guys here. At the running back spot, I'm going to go with Carlos Hyde of San Francisco. Ohio State, saw this guy for a couple years run through the Big Ten. He's a big guy. Nimble feet, though, good vision. Reminds me, I think, unfortunately, of Beanie Wells, but a better version of him. And I think he has decent hands. And he can make plays in the open field. With that being said, I think it's going to be dependent on that offensive line in front of him and what they can also do offensively. You got Kaepernick, who is a run threat. That always helps a young running back when you have that running threat back there. But I don't know what type of offense they're going to actually run. We haven't seen Mr. Tomzilla, who's the head coach now, and what he actually does there in San Fran. He's a big guy, though, can catch the football. They do have Reggie Bush out there who can possibly take up some of the third down work, do some change of pace things. But I'm expecting him to carry the load out there and be a big part of their offense. Wide receiver, I think there's going to be a change in the guard. And I know you guys, I was going to say you must be some type of Arizona fan, but I'm going with Michael Floyd. I think him and Larry Fitzgerald flip spots now. I think Michael Floyd becomes the guy who catches 70, 80 balls. Anywhere between 1,000 and 1,100 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns, and becomes the number one guy. Fitzgerald still will catch 60 to 70 balls, but he's not going to be the downfield threat that he once was. You can see him being more of an intermediate guy, short to middle receiver, even the big guy playing in the slot a little bit. So I look forward to take a step up. At the quarterback spot, this was tough, but I'm going to go with my boy Teddy Bridgewater. He gets to play with Adrian Peterson. He gets to have a solid offensive line in front of him. He now gets a deep threat to complement Charles Johnson. And he still has Cordero Patterson, who they want to develop, and a couple other guys who can catch the football and can do some things in the open field. Then you look at the backup running back, Jarrett McKinnon, who may get a little bit of change of pace carries and maybe some third down action as well. He's a nice receiving threat that can do some things in the open field and has a great amount of speed. So he's a guy who has weapons all around him. He's going to see 7 to 8 man fronts all the time because he's got Adrian Peterson. So when he drops back to pass, if his guy can get open, it may not be anybody behind him. I think he can do some big things out here, man. So watch out for Teddy Bridgewater. For real. Watch out for him. And if he does do it, either you heard it here first or second or third, whoever you heard it from, but give me my props. That's all I ask for. And guess what, folks? It is now 8:46. I have gone through all the material that I can go through. I'm taking up just about all my time. So we're going to get on out of here a little early. Everybody, you know, remember, man. Remember. If you don't have a passion for anything, have a passion for life, have a passion for sports. Wish L the best. Hope to see y'all next week. Next week, we're supposed to be coming to y'all on Tuesday. So check us out on Tuesday. We'll talk a little bit more about the free agency situation. Hopefully, our Tigers will have a couple more wins under their belt. Hopefully, we'll have a free agent or two to talk about here in the Detroit. So we're going to get on out of here. I'm sorry, remember, if you don't have a passion for anything else, have a passion for life and passion for sports. I may have said it twice, but I love you. That's why I said it twice. All right? We're going to get on out of here now. Be safe, everybody. Enjoy the 4th of July holiday. And we're getting out of here.
Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way.
Messing me up my whole head. Teasing me just like Tita did Martin. Now look at what you're starting. Schoolboy crushing it ain't on the hush. The whole world see it. But you can't. My peoples, they complain, sit and rave and rant.
Come on.
Your name is out my mouth like an ancient chant. Got me like a dog as I pause and pant.
Speaking of which, got a leash and a wish just to rock you, miss. Make a militant move, peep my strategy.
What?
End of the day, you're not mad at me. Not dealing with nobody, now that's what you told me.
What?
I said, hey, yo, it's cool, we can just be friendly. Cause yo, picture me messing it up. Her mind not corrupt with the LC cups.
Huh.
Shit. I'm on my J.O.
Come on.
Bullshit and hoping that the day goes slow.
Wow.
Got me like a friend, what confuses me though? It's kisses when we breathe. Tell me what's the deal, yo. Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way. Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things.
Come on.
Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way.
Now why you wanna go and do that love, huh? Making things for me towards you harder. Killing me just when I think we there. You douse the whole vibe and the folks in the air. Telling me about next man. But next man ain't the nigga with the plan. Who got your heart in mind? It's about time that you just unwind.
Come on.
And let it just happen, make it front free. Just sweat me like money paying me. Digging you, getting inside of your seat.
What?
It's the quest cat keeping you company.
Hi.
Forever or however you want it.
Word, word. Now wait a minute, ma, before you dead it to the curb.
Yeah.
Try to make impressions, which is good, not the herd. But it ain't me, and I ain't blurred. I'ma still just chill with you. Maybe things could change if you change your view.
Come on.
If not, then I guess it is cool. Yeah. Just keep to yourself and the vibe by the rules, right? Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, move, and you confuse things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way. Now you caught.